Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is October the 10th, 2019. So today we're going to talk about more about solutions to performance pressures with athletes that are traveling to competitions. And, you know, I've got a good checklist of things to do and things to bring for you that athletes, and specific to, of course, we all know about travel, a lot of people do, but you know, it's very specific things for athletes and for people traveling for business to travel away to competitions, and, you know, how they can feel, we can help them feel more prepared and dealing with unknown, this unknown territory. Sometimes younger athletes are not familiar with travel, and so they might not know how to make really specific kinds of basic decisions about things. And they're used to their coach or their parents handling everything, and some things they might need to handle themselves. And so special needs of athletes before and during the travel time. And then when they get there, it's the pressures of not having your familiar surroundings and being able to perform in a new environment. And then, other things we can talk about are pressures that your athletes have when competing away from home and away events and tough doubts that can creep in. And when you don't have your normal support systems, building confidence inside with that unfamiliar territory and, handling different countries, different environments, you might have different weather, extreme altitude or, for skiers, that kind of thing. And air, maybe extremely hot or extremely cold, different languages, cultures, customs. It's a new learning experience for many athletes. So being able to, treat it as a learning experience. And then a lot of athletes have to do media interviews at away events, so that can be frustrating at first and nerve-wracking if they don't know what to say or they've got a question, questions coming at them that they don't know how to handle. So that's interesting one maybe you could help them prepare for as well. And then the sleep and jet lag issues and getting ready for a big competition, maybe with higher level teams than you're used to. So those are some of the things I wanted to talk about today. And then, I know, Michelle, you're on the call. You had a question first. So, why don't you ask your question, and then we'll go from there. I'll go into our content here, too. Are you there, Michelle?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. I was muted.
Yeah.
It takes me a second to get off. Yes, thank you. So I'm currently working with this U15 girls soccer team. And
they're high school? Or what age?
Under 15, so they're 14 years of age.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're just a nice bunch of girls, and they're doing very well in the province. They're a rep team. I don't know if you have that in the States, but it's sort of top tier soccer.
Uh-huh.
And they're having a great season. But what happens is, the coach gets quite frustrated because they're out there, and if one of them makes a mistake, they'll say sorry profusely, and it really just takes away from their ability to perform. And they all do it. They're trying to be nice, but I think it's distracting and it's frustrating for the coach. And so there's a lot of apologizing going on.
Oh, yeah. Yes? Soccer or volleyball?
Soccer.
Which sport? Soccer, yeah. Okay.
Soccer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of apologizing going on, and so how can we nip that in the bud? And then, because it is coming from a good place. A few of the girls really beat themselves up and feel terrible when they make mistakes. So it's a two-tiered question.
Yeah, right. And what's your role? Are you working with the whole team or with the individual athletes or a coach?
The whole team.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How
are you working with them? Are you giving, talks or talk with them afterward?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, we do. I've been doing workshops with them, and then just certain topics that we'll cover. And there, a workshop's about an hour and a half. And this is just one thing that I haven't addressed yet.
Yeah, right. One thing would be to do a, well, you could do talk about it there in front, give some tips, which we can talk about right now, and then you could have them do a role play or you know, practice. You know, first they could visualize making a mistake and then being able to get through that successfully, have a plan for that, and do the, and then you can have them role play that and, you know, actually you prepare for making different kinds of mistakes, I guess. Also, it might be this, I guess, forced errors and unforced errors, you know, when somebody, when they, if they make a, you know, so you could talk about the different kinds of mistakes that they experience and ask how they handle the, how they feel about those and how they handle those. That would be a good workshop kind of thing to do. You know, forced meaning that the, yeah, the other team is really coming on them and forcing them to, and they end up making an error. And then unforced errors are kind of the ones we usually feel worst about when we don't even have an opposition messing us up, but we just, if someone makes a bad kick or does something on their own that's not good. So you could talk about those different kinds of feelings and what they the ramifications of that, looking stupid or looking and feeling embarrassed. Yeah, and then you could do the it would be good to have them write down on the, you know, the left, do that exercise with the left and right side of the page, I think, where they write on the left-hand side, let's say they just made a mistake, and they say, oh, I really messed up here, you know, like how they beat themselves up, like you say, the negative thought, and then on the right-hand side, right, you know, with girls, especially with women and guys too, girls have a tendency, like you say, to apologize too much, even when they haven't done anything wrong, or apologizing. Sorry.
Yeah.
We're just a sorry bunch, right?
I know.
And so, yeah, the on the right side of the page, right, how you, if you were going to coach your friend or tell your, if your friend made a mistake, your teammate made a mistake on the team, how would you coach her or what would you tell her to do? Because especially with girls that are so good, much better at helping other people get through something, and so much, you know, there's that empathy there and caring for someone else. So, and girls, if you ask them that, they'd probably come up with something right away. I'd tell her to, you know, that it's okay. You know, get the next one. You can handle this. We're all with you, or that kind of thing. And then so you ask them, that, what would you tell, how you should coach another person, a teammate, and then say, okay, now let's turn that around and let's, so write all those down first and stay focused on the teammate first because they are so good at that part. And then say, okay, now let's try saying those things to yourself, you know, coach yourself and be able to say those same power words or affirmations. And then you can have them write those down on the right-hand side of the page. But it's good to have them stay with coaching the teammate as long as possible, I think, because we're so much better at that part and focusing on helping someone else. And maybe go through all the different, even before you get to the self part, because that's where people then have, it's more difficult, go through to coaching a teammate in all the different scenarios. You know, so how would you coach a teammate when they do a forced error or an unforced error or, kicking it, missing the goal, how would you coach a teammate? What would they say? And how would you coach your teammate with missing a, up against another player and losing the ball? And, how would you coach your teammate with losing focus, or when they lost focus and weren't paying attention and didn't get in the right place, that kind of thing. I was thinking, and you go through all those scenarios, first staying with coaching someone else so that they are in that mindset, and then they probably can really expand their mind, because we're, especially women, are so good at empathizing with someone else. And what would you say to that person, and how would you think they would feel? And they're probably really an expert at that, and then they get to, and then right at the very end, after they're already really good at this stuff, I would think then you can say, let's just imagine yourself and saying those same things, and imagine feeling bad and then being able to coach yourself through it. And they'll probably at first think, I couldn't do that to myself, but think, if you can do it to someone else, how wouldn't that be easy to let's see if you can be as good, or be as good to yourself as you are to your teammates, something like that, and see if they can just really and think of a time, you could have them think of a time when you were kind of forgiving for yourself. That word forgiveness is really a good one. For self, like if you messed up in maybe something else, not soccer, but you forgot your keys, or you forgot, they're younger, they don't have keys yet maybe, but forgot a question on a test at school, or you messed up somehow, and then think of it, everybody's probably gotten through some difficult situation and figured out a solution to it. And so have them come up with those kind of things, a time when you really did make a mistake and then you came up with something, maybe another situation. And then let's see, can we use those same skills or same kind of thinking to be able to coach yourself through when you make a mistake in soccer? Because it can be the same kind of thing. Think of another situation. Have them share those situations, what another situation would be. Or also another time when they, coached someone else through a difficult situation, and how good that felt. And then just kind of going back and forth, and then being able to say, how can we kind of switch your, get good at switching your mindset from coaching someone else to and helping them feel better, to saying, I deserve this too. Yeah, if I can help someone else through this, then another step would be, I was just thinking, you could have them imagine someone else, another teammate, saying those same things to you. So that would be a second step in the middle. Imagine a teammate coaching you and saying those same things. So something that would be easier first than telling yourself, having a teammate coach you with those same kinds of things, same statements, and saying it's okay. You did your best, and how can you? Or the coach even there saying you can next time you could do it this way. And so imagine, someone else coaching you and taking in that feedback and then feeling better. So that'd be like a second step. First step, coaching someone else. The second step, a teammate coaching you, giving you good feedback. And then the third step would be coaching yourself and saying, being self-sufficient kind of thing, saying, wow, if I could do this to someone else and someone could do this to me, I could do this, I could coach myself too and use these same techniques. And if it maybe choose somebody on the team there that is seems most confident at first to share, you know, rather than, you know, don't pick the person that's likely to not say anything, but pick somebody that's a team leader kind of thing, and somebody that maybe does have good tendencies to be confident and could give it a good example, and or if they aren't, then you can kind of coach them how to do that, and then they could be sort of a model for the other girls and say, okay, someone else, let's give this a try, let's do another scenario, and somebody else, and you could do it like first somebody messing up and say, okay, I mess up here, and then let's see someone else, so everybody else, let's coach her, and what would you say to her? That kind of thing, and then you could have that girl coach the others and with a mistake, and then coach themselves. I'm just actually thinking of this off the cuff right now. I'm coming up with a whole new model here because I'm so inspired by your question. what do you think about that idea, Michelle, or can you add to it?
Yeah, I think this is really great. It really didn't occur to me to, and I think you made a really good point there with how girls can be, they want to be helpful and supportive of one another. So before they get into coaching themselves on this, if they can coach one another, I think that's a really nice segue through this process, so that they're almost looking at it as an observer or a third party, and then they can look at it more closely for themselves. And also, I think we tend to show kindness to others before we show it to ourselves. And, I even think when we have a bit of a breakdown with somebody and we have a conflict or they do something that we don't like, the tendency is to just bury it, and because we don't want to upset that person by communicating, and yet we pay the price, right? So I think this is a really good exercise in forgiveness and also just treating yourself with kindness.
And girls love that term, kindness and forgiveness. And sometimes it takes, forgiving someone else and then having someone else forgive you. Just a simple, oh, it's okay, no worries, or something like that could be, during the game, just saying something like that is helpful. Or whatever they say there, do you notice any girls doing that to each other, what they would say to each other to show kindness?
They're exceptionally supportive of each other out there, and they're great. And I think it's more just on an individual basis, these girls are beating themselves up, and it's just the nature of the game, right? We're gonna make mistakes, especially as the play gets better. So I think they're not even aware of how they're, in a sense, cutting themselves off at the knees, right, with the way they're self-talk that's existing out there, and then it is going to affect their performance.
Yeah, so that might be a first step. Is before we can change anything, we have to create awareness of it. And as you say, if they're not even aware of feeding themselves up, then that would be good to start to ask, okay, how do we let's create that awareness first. How do we beat ourselves up? Not to dwell on that, but say, what do you say to yourself? After you've made a mistake, and ask them to list those things, kind of words, thoughts. They might not even be aware of them, or they might just be aware of feelings, just feeling really bad. I let the team down. I'm disappointing the team. I'm disappointing my parents. Disappointing my coach. All that. or thinking in the future, what's this going to mean? I hope I don't get cut from the team or get put on the bench. All that kind of thing. We do a future kind of talk, and then a future kinds of things. What's this going to mean? And then also the past, getting stuck in the past. I wish if only I hadn't done that mistake, we would have won the game, kind of thing. that kind of thing too. I think even though it might seem like negative talk, if you can highlight that or hear the girls say that, if they hear each other saying that, they can say, oh, I'm not the only one that does that.
Yeah.
And they can understand that, wow, I'm not crazy. This is kind of a normal thing that we do. And and we can't totally stop that kind of thinking, but we can turn, like a radio, we can turn down the volume and put it in the background, like the camera, put the focus somewhere else, put the focus on, okay, next shot, and put the thought of what just happened before. That's it's already in the past. So, you know, it's like a camera, it's a metaphor for that, putting it in the background and put the focus on what I have to do next. But just that, you know, it can be really, if you're doing a workshop, which I think, Michelle, I get the sense you're really good at this, and can be, and can continue to be good, you know, just to say, how do we, let's do an exercise of how we beat ourselves up, and then first, just so you create awareness, and how we do that with the past, saying if only I'd done this, or if I hadn't made that mistake, I can't believe I did that. What an idiot! they're probably saying that to themselves, and then just normalize that is something that every athlete does. It's like that. Video I mentioned a while back of a tennis player, a German tennis player in the U.S. Open, and it went viral. It was a while back, but it was a tennis player that messed up and then someone videoed him as he's sitting on the bench and saying to himself, "You idiot! You retard! Too many mistakes! Too many mistakes!" He's yelling at himself, "You idiot!" But then he was able to quickly turn around and say, too many mistakes, now go out there and get them. And then he ended up going out and winning the next match. So that was an example of how you can do a quick little, you have to do something to get rid of the anger or the frustration. So that's another thing you could do is that immediate anger, we do have those feelings and we can't, and completely ignore them. You know, you got to do something with that anger, that frustration when you just did a mistake. So then give them some ways that they could get rid of the anger, frustrating, quickly, like that example of the pitcher, major league pitcher I worked with, where I said, okay, go back to the mound after you've made a bad pitch, and you pick up a little stone and throw it backwards. And so he would do that and say, okay, that's behind me now. So he did this physical action of throwing a stone behind him. So that's, of course, in soccer, you don't have time to pick up a stone, but you could still do some kind of action like snapping your fingers or putting your hand on your thigh or, clenching your fist or something that is putting your hand backwards like you're throwing something backwards. So just imagining that, doing some kind of action to get rid of the anger. If you could do something physical and then say something that, say a phrase to yourself quickly, like that's behind me. Some people think of the flushing the toilet. it's kind of funny, but when we think of flushing the toilet, it's like, okay, it's down the drain. that's done. Next play. Yeah, and having a little, I've been at a workshop where one person had a tiny little toilet there. He would flush the toilet to show get rid of stuff, or some kind of let them come up with some other actions like that, where they do something quick that they can do it physically. You know, guys would probably, you know, are more aggressive. They'd want to punch something out, or, you know, punch a punching bag. If you had, you know, if you have a timeout or something, and you can sit down and you've got a pillow, you could, you know, punch a pillow, punch something soft. But doing something to get deal with the frustration, and then say, okay, next, so I can now I can move on. One guy I'm dealing, working with one guy right now that's doing lawn bowling, one of those really exciting sports. And so actually flying to Australia tomorrow for this World Lawn Bowling Championships, which I didn't even know there were lawn bowling championships, but in Australia it's a big thing with TV and $100,000 cash prizes and that he could go for. And so when he makes a mistake, he's you know, takes a puts his hand up like he's got a holding a baseball bat and just kind of swings it a little bit light, like he's okay, I knocked that one out of the park, you know, like I knocked it. It's out of the park, and then that's what he does to deal with the mistake, and then goes back to the next shot with his lawn bowling. So, and he the fact that he chose that is helpful for him, because that's something that he can that makes it his own. So you could have each of the girls kind of come up with what's an action for you that you could do that would, because girls are different than guys, and they might want something. You know, taking your palms and pressing them together or something. It could be anything, but just something that gets rid of that frustration. Yeah, and then being able to just move, you know, like something, and then have an, you could have an action for moving forward. Like what I do when I want to focus at the computer or move forward on a project, I put my hands up to my temples and then just put, and then move them straight forward. Like, okay, focus, I'm moving forward, this one, I'm focusing on this one task right here, something like that. So anything to, that they, if they can come up with something themselves that may make it their own, then they're much more likely to use that. And it means if they don't, if that doesn't work for them, then they can try a different action, but something like that. Does that kind of make sense? Or is that, what do you think of that idea, Michelle?
Yeah, I think it's great. And Dr. Joanne, I'd love to watch that video you were talking about. You said it was a tennis video where the guy saying
yeah.
He hit and went viral.
Yeah, it was a while back, a couple of years ago. So I don't have the link right with me. But I'll try to find it. And then if I can, I can send it to you, send it to everyone on the call here.
I can find it. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But it was tennis,
okay.
Correct? Was it the... Australian guy doing that? Was he
Australian
player?
No, it was a German guy. It was in the U.S. Open a few years ago, and he was a German guy, and he was older. He wasn't going to win the U.S. Open, but he was one of the top players. I think he was in his 40s, and he went back to the and sat down, and then he was like berating himself and in German. So the words are, he's saying it in German, and then the words are translated into English there, what he's saying.
Oh my God. Okay, I gotta find this. It sounds hilarious.
I know. Yeah. I know, he's saying to himself, "You idiot, you retard, too many mistakes." And you see those words coming up. So, yeah, you could look for that at the U.S. Open Tennis Championships, but
okay.
Not recently. So that would be a good one video to show them. but not to emphasize the, I mean, it is, you know, beating yourself up, but he did it quickly and then and then was able to move right forward and win the next match. So saying there's a way to, a quick way to get rid of anger and all, but not, and then to move on, to not continue to beat yourself up. Just, if you're going to beat yourself up, do it quickly and harmlessly.
Yeah.
Right. And just and then be able to say, and I'm and everybody does this. It's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read a quote by Winston Churchill, and he said, "Mind management is the essence of life." And it reminds me of that when you say that, because the thoughts are going to come up, and there's probably not a lot you could do when the thought comes up, but what are you going to do with that? Are you going to just latch onto it and just go for a ride, or are you going to stop it in its tracks or get it out of you quickly?
Yeah, right. And you could use the metaphor of the radio, and actually somebody, in our era of older folks, I don't know how old... Maybe you might not be as old as me, but we there's radio, or there were radios that where you just had a knob and you just turned the radio down, or now I guess it's mainly a button that you press a few times to turn the volume down on something, but however you do that. On our phones, we have a volume thing, right? You just press it a few times and it turns the volume down. So that's what we want to, after you do the thing, flush the toilet or going to say, "You idiot," or "You, okay, that was stupid," or "That was something." or you could say, "That was a stupid moment." Everybody has stupid moments. and then turn the volume down. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, I heard this is funny. I heard a ringing for something.
No, it's my nephew texting me. Sorry, it's coming through on my phone. I'm going to try to turn off that alert. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wondered.
Gotta love your nephews.
As I was saying, turn the volume down, that the volume got turned up.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. So that could be a thing to do. There's always some way that people can imagine turning the volume down on something and going and then turning and then change, or the other concept is changing the channel. If you've got a radio or a YouTube channel or any kind of channel, if we don't like something that we're hearing, it's okay to just imagine just pushing a button, and with young people, it's clicking on a different channel, and being able to say, "I don't want to watch that. I want to watch this over here." Clicking on the changing the channel in your mind of the. I've already beat myself up to that. I was on the beating up channel, and now I'm making a joke, and making something funny. I was on the beating up channel, and now we're done with that. That was just a quick commercial, and now we're going to the lifting up channel. So we create another channel that you like. That's the you could even call it use their name if you're dealing with Sally. Call it the lifting up Sally channel, or the go Sally channel. Or Sally is a rock star channel. Call it your own, create your own channel of something else. This is a good idea creating session here.
Well, it's such a heavy topic for athletes, and then so if I think this is, it's kind of a nice way to just poke a little bit of fun at them. and ourselves for beating ourselves up and just to lighten the mood around it. I think, you know, when we're just got so much negative energy around this sort of thing, then it just becomes heavy and unfun, right? And if you can laugh at the situation, I think it doesn't have that same sort of pull on you.
Negative. Yeah. Yeah, so then another exercise you could do with them is to say, okay, what's the stupidest thing you've done? Or not, or maybe use a different word. What's the, you know, funniest thing you've done with soccer? You know, or messed up in a crazy way, or and have them share kind of thing. So you could, yeah, like you say, poke fun at something, but then ask them, and then a time that you recovered from a mistake. Let's share those times. What's the best, the quickest time, or the best time when you recovered from a mistake, and were able to just move on. Have them share those and have them realize that, oh, I do have that resilience inside. And I can, there was a time way back whenever that I could actually move forward and recover quickly. So, and then you could ask them, how did they recover? What did they do? And maybe they forgot. It's been so long, but they can, now when you ask them, they can say, oh, okay, I do have those tools inside me. Just have to dig them up here. So, yeah. So great. You know, it could have been a mistake that they did that they wasn't a big, it wasn't game changing. It was just something that happened there. And so that's something that people can easily bring up. Or there might have been another time when they did make a mistake that was where they feel like, oh man, that mistake caused, you know, was game changing, and I lost the game for the team or something because of my mistake, which is not true at all. It's an exaggeration, but they think that, and they've been, you know, kind of beating themselves up for a long time with that. So if they shared that, then and other people will probably come in and say, wait a minute, it takes the whole team to play a game, not just you, and it wasn't just that mistake that lost the game. It was lots of things, or lots of things we could do differently. So it's not just, so the whole team can kind of support each other and say it's not a big deal, not, you know, allow that, and, you know, allow that forgiveness to come in. It's just one, that was just one play, just one thing. Yeah. So that's great. This is a really good, I'm so glad you asked that question, Michelle. And, or anything else you want to ask?
For answering it, Dr. Joanne.
Yeah, so let me just go over some of the things with the travel. Because traveling for competition, it's something that if you're, it requires a lot of preparation when you're an athlete. And so one thing you want to do with your athletes is, and if you have any athletes that are traveling to things, like your soccer team, Michelle, do they just play at home, or do they travel to other teams too, to other places to play?
Yeah, they travel, but mainly not through time zones. Like, they might play in Seattle, just over the border, and then in BC mainly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Washington, D.C.? Or B.C.? Oh, you said B.C.? Yeah, British Columbia.
British Columbia.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was thinking D.C. or Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, but even just, so you might deal with other teams that are traveling. It could be across a border, so they have to cross line there. And what you want to tell your athletes is, if you're traveling with a group, like your soccer team, make sure that you know what parts of the trip your manager or your coach are dealing with, and then which parts you, you know, the athletes themselves are responsible for. For instance, you know, like if you're traveling across a border, like from Canada to the U.S., each athlete probably has to, is responsible for obtaining their own passport if they require one. And then, but someone else, the coach might be organizing the travel, the bus ride or the tickets or that kind of thing, the hotel. So like with your athletes, Michelle, when they cross the border, do they have to have a passport to get across to the U.S. there? Oh, you might be on mute. You just press *6, I think it is, to unmute. Or maybe you lost the... I was just going to ask about that, but that's okay. You might be out of range right now. But, yeah.
Sorry, Dr. Joanne. Yes. They do have to present a passport.
Oh, they do have to. Okay. So, yeah, if they're younger, 14 or so, I guess they probably need their... They might need their parents' help with getting the passport, or they have to do that themselves. So that's really important. And then because a lot of athletes, younger athletes, depend on their coach for doing a lot of things, right, or their parents. And so it's good to make sure that that's all up to date. I remember last time I talked about when I was. Well, I was 20, in my 20s, and I was not an experienced traveler at all. I hadn't done hardly any international travel, but did well in the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon, I got a chance to first go to compete in the Nice, France Triathlon. And as I was driving to the airport, my friend was driving me there. He said, can I see your passport? Just to check, and we realized it was out of date. It was expired. As I was driving to the airport, I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't. He says, you can't get on that plane because you've got an expired passport. And so we had to cancel that trip, and I had to go get an emergency. Luckily, I could get an emergency renewal quickly in a few days and had to get a new airline ticket. But fortunately, my sponsor was helpful with that, could do that, but that can be really expensive, you know, change tickets and all. And so I was able to remedy it, but a lot of times that's not so easy to do. So it's really important. It's something that you take for granted. You figure, oh, passport, you know, it's good for 10 years, it'll be fine, but it's important to check those things. And then, so also, sometimes people think that you can travel on a visitor's passport, but I think that's no longer the case. And a lot like the EU, traveling to Europe, you have to have a passport to, you know, U.S. passport or whatever country you're from to travel there, not just a visitor's passport. And then you want to check whether you need a visa and apply for one in really early, and check with your doctor if you need any. So this is kind of a little checklist before you go of items. You check with your doctor if you need any special immunizations or malarial tablets if you're going to certain countries like India or places that might need immunizations for those countries. And then you want to see if you need insurance for your luggage, for your medical costs, and to cover medical costs and medical treatment. So, and then, you know, just things like, you know, overlook or things like if you have a toothache, you know, that could interfere with your competition as an athlete, so get a dental checkup, and because teeth problems might interfere with training or eating or that kind of thing, or sleep, but that can all affect your performance as an athlete. So getting that, because if you, you know, a lot of times athletes think, oh, if I need treatment, I'll just go to the doctor in that country. But, you know, that can be unreliable. And so a doctor you don't know, it can be very costly. And so it's much better to go to the doctor or dentist that you know here. And then athletes, you know, we're talking about here, younger athletes and adult athletes too, if you're adult or the coach can do some of this for you to get traveler's checks or and some local currency so you're ready to go with being able to buy things there. Sometimes things we take for granted, we think, oh, I'll just use my credit card. But in this case, you know, for instance, just we were talking this morning in the San Francisco Bay Area, a fifth of the people, over a million people, are without power right now because PG&E decided to turn off the power to prevent wildfires and to check their equipment, which is outrageous. We've never had this before. But so that means a lot of places you go in and you can't use your credit card because that all that requires electricity. And so it's built. I'm not sure what that was, but if you, yeah, just mute the phones, Mr. Six. That'll be good during this portion. Just some background noise there. And so, yeah, you want to make sure you have cash, your own cash, traveler's checks, or a local currency because that reduces stress on the athlete so that you can, you know, focus on your performance because sometimes, you know, for some reason a credit card might not work or might not be accepted or an ATM might not work. So it's good to have cash is better. So a good backup is called an international debit card that can be used in international cash point machines in most countries. So you can ask your bank about those kind of things. So, yeah, and then you want to have your athletes make a separate note of the, you know, the numbers of your passport. Make a copy of the passport. You know, not just you think, oh, I've got my passport, I'm good. But you know, if for some reason it gets lost or stolen, you want to make sure you have copies, the numbers of that passport, so that you can get a replacement. The traveler's checks, the credit card, debit cards, you know, make copies of those so you have those numbers, as well as, you know, phone numbers that you might contact in case of a loss of something. So, and then leave another copy, ask your athletes to leave another copy of those important numbers at home with someone that you can contact while you're away. So if something does happen, you can contact someone at home to help you. Retrieve all of that. So that's good, and that's important to know. Because I know that at airports and at places where there's lots of people traveling through these days, there's a lot more theft and things going on than in the past. I've had friends who've, you know, they're carrying a purse right with them, but someone comes along and just cuts the strap of the purse, and all of a sudden you haven't got anything with you. So it's really important to carry, have extra copies of things, and also to carry, you know, the things, ask your athletes to carry with them the passport and important things right on the body. You know, you can get those little carry-on packs that you put on underneath your clothing that are really essential. So it's important to have that really close to you so someone can't just cut off your backpack or your purse or something. They have those things right next to you. A cheap, convenient way to call home is using a telephone charge card, you know, for kids and or people that need to call home for something, for emergency. The cards are free, and then calls can be made abroad using one and charged to your home phone bill kind of thing. So those are some good travel things and specific to athletes. Yes, a lot of athletes might have a special dietary requirements or vegetarian or vegan, so it's important to call the airline in advance so they can provide you with the appropriate food. Just telling them at the checkout desk at the airport is too late. It's important to do that ahead of time, and that way they can give you the right kinds of food on the plane. If possible, it's good to, you know, bring with you a sandwich or something to tide you over in case sometimes it takes a long time when you're on an airline to get some food. And a lot of athletes can get, it's really important to stay hydrated. And so you want to, you know, and of course you can't bring water now through the checkout, but you can bring a, it's good to bring empty water bottles, I think, I bring one or two, and then you can fill them up at a drink, after you get through the checkpoints, you can fill up water bottles at the drinking fountain and bring that on the plane, because a lot of times the airline might not be able to provide you with water until, you know, they're up in the air, and there can be delays, that sort of thing. So it's good to try to be as self-sufficient as you can, because especially athletes need that hydration in order to perform well. And then with groups, so that's individual travel, and with group travel, too, it's good to, you know, check your travel arrangements and meeting points. You might need to, sometimes athletes travel individually to a place and then meet, they meet somewhere. So check the, you know, when you're meeting up with your team or with your coach, and have a backup plan if any of you are delayed. So it's always good to have a plan A and then have a plan B for things. In case you're delayed, what will happen, how to call each other and that kind of thing. A lot of younger athletes might not remember to, say, charge their phone. They think, oh, if I am delayed on this call, I use my phone. And then they find out that their phone is dead because they haven't had a place to charge it. So it's good to charge your phone ahead of time, and also get one of those little power backups. They're really small, and you could carry them on a plane with you. They're just about the size of a phone. They're great, and then you could, it allows you to charge that up. It's a backup power supply, and then you can have that charged at your phone up to 5 times with that. So if you're without a long time without power somewhere, you can have that with you. I've got one right here that's called Portable Power. Yeah, you can get them at any electronics store. The one I have is there's a company called Insignia, but you could get it with any brand kind of thing. And they'll have a little USB device on there, so you could plug your phone in. So it's kind of like taking your power with you. And then athletes, what to take with you. Some things you want to make sure that you have all the equipment and clothing you compete with. I know, like, you know, for example, with swimmers, it's different with each sport, of course. Swimmers, you know, things that are easy to have duplicates of, like goggles, you know, have a couple, 2 or 3 pairs of goggles that fit your face really well. So if one pair breaks, you've got another one set to go. Same thing with swim caps. Those are small and easy to carry, and sometimes a swim cap can rip. So it's good to have 2 or 3 of those because they're really small and easy to carry with you. And same thing with a swimsuit. So things like that, you want to have a backup. I know one athlete I worked with for the Olympics, her swimsuit ripped right at the in the locker room, in the ready room, right before she was ready to go out and get into the finals of the Olympics. And if she had not had a backup swimsuit there, I mean, she might not have made it out there to the finals. And it turns out she was able to change quickly. I mean, it was scary because she was just, it was a last-minute thing, but she, the coach was able to provide her with another swimsuit there, and then she ended up getting the Olympic gold medal. So it was just, history was on the line right there, having that necessary equipment. So, you know, with somebody who's in a championships or opening ceremonies, like, say, for the Olympics, they got to have special official clothing for those kinds of things. Or with an athlete that's training with a team, you got to have your official clothing with your sponsor on it. And so it's really important to have that right clothing ahead of time and keep that with you. And those kind of things, I think it's really important to carry those on the plane. A lot of athletes might want to pack it underneath the plane, but things that are absolutely essential, like your phone and official team clothing, you know, it's better to wear that or have it on your carry-on luggage right with you so it can't be lost, kind of thing. So, and then necessary training equipment, take that with you, of course, things that, and your coach might be able to do some of that, like a foam roller, that kind of thing, and that could be put into your under the plane baggage, but things like that really help with recovery. And so, or anything that you need to clean your equipment, like if you need special glasses and, you know, you need a special, like a racquetball players, they need a certain kind of goggles. They might have goggles that are prescription goggles. And so there's these microfiber little cloths now that do a much better job of cleaning your glasses so that you can see a lot better. I mean, that's really critical. And I always carry one of those with me so I can have, clean the sunglasses. And boy, when you get clear vision, it's just so much better. So, and then a prescription with a note from your doctor. As we know these days, there's a lot more drug testing going on. So so athletes get questioned about their medication more often. So it's whether it's they might think it's performance enhancing, or it's really important to check with your doctor and to have a note from the doctor about that. This is a prescribed medication and what purpose it's for. And it's important to look up, you can have your doctor or yourself look up the on the list of banned substances so that you can make sure that some athletes have been caught off guard and they thought what they were taking, even though it was prescribed by a doctor, if it's on the list of banned substances, then they get questioned or they can get pulled aside or have their medal taken away, kind of thing. So it's just it's really important to check that out ahead of time. Things like other things to what to take with you are we talked about contact numbers and also a driver's license if you're going to have use of a car or rent one. Some countries require an international driving license with your photo on it. So these can be obtained from whatever association you work with in your country. And so you take a passport size photo and then your own license from your own country, and then you can get this international driving license. So that's important for driving in some countries. So you need to check on that. And then, athletes, of course, a lot of athletes, you have special nutritional supplements or special food or drinks that you normally use. So check with customs as to what you can take through. And I think it's really helpful to take, powder it's a protein drink. You know, on the plane, a lot of times you might not be able to take too much food. So what's easy to take is some sort of protein powder or, powdered nutritional food that you can take, and then you can just take water and mix it in there after you get through the checkpoint, get your water, and then you've got a nutritional meal right there in your bottle. So that's a good way to have something that carries over. Of course, sunscreen, goggles, and a hat for the sun, and the correct clothing for the right climate, the time of year that you're going. It's really important to check on that. Making sure that if you're doing large equipment, I know I've worked with pole vaulters, and they've got this huge long pole they have to deal with, so it's good to know the airline or train company knows you're bringing large equipment with you and to find out what the baggage allowance is. I always had to do that with my bicycle as a triathlete and had to pay extra for the the bicycle oversized, and it is always concerns about if the bike is going to come out on the train, on the plane, and not undamaged. So if you can put it in, now they have very protective cases for bicycles. So putting, or there's even services where you can mail your bicycle ahead of time to the events, so it'll make sure it gets there even before you do. So those are good if people can afford those kind of services. So so those are all important. And then I just a couple of information about flying, traveling, and we'll and then. We'll talk more. We have another call. Our second Thursday of the month is the 24th, October 24th, so we can go over some other things too. But I'll just wrap up here with a couple other tips about traveling. A lot of athletes think, oh, there'll be plenty of food or drinks on the plane or on the train, but food, the right kind of food that you need might not be available or might be really costly. And so an airplane meals might not be sufficient. These days, sometimes the airplane meals are being cut back or you have to pay a lot of money extra. So over a long period, the airplane might cause you to become dehydrated because the air is much drier on the plane. So it's important to bring food with you, empty water bottles and fill them up after you get through the checkpoint at the water fountain so you have enough fluid with you, and not depend on the airline to provide that, because you never know what they will be providing or how long it takes to get that if the plane is full. So yeah, and you just want to, one of the things athletes have trouble with is a lot of stress with, doing things, not planning things out as well, or, just that uncertainty of airport, of travel. So it's really important to allow extra time for traveling to the airport and for checking in, because all that can take longer than you think. And then you want to check the point of departure, the time, and if there's a problem, if there's a flight delay, this is where you can help athletes to be, have the right attitude, to be positive, just accept the situation and not let it really bother them, because that can affect performance. So be prepared for, that there's often delays and that's what happens, especially with younger athletes. They might not be used to that, so be prepared to entertain yourself. Be able to walk around the airport or be able to take books with you, magazines, or your phone or computer, be able to watch movies or computer games. Those can help with the boredom factor. I know I've been stuck in airports many times as an athlete myself. Even had to sleep overnight or sleep many hours in an airport because the flight was going to be early the next morning. And several of us, when I was flying to one race, that one in France, we ended up being able to take turns watching each other's stuff. We weren't traveling together, but initially, but then we found out, oh, I know these people from other races. So we watched each other's stuff while we took turns sleeping or walking around. And so sometimes you can find people you trust and be able to watch your stuff so that you can walk around and stay loose and have that movement. So that's important. And it's good to not drink alcohol at the airport or during the flight, because that can increase the risk of getting dehydrated and just not being able to think clearly. So it's really good to just avoid caffeine or alcohol, and have athletes really just eat and drink sensibly, taking into account the dehydrating factor of the airplane. So, those are some, and then of course, little things like earplugs are really critical, little things that people forget. Earplugs can really help for being able to sleep during your flight, and also your contact lenses and solutions that athletes might need for, and then just cover for your eyes. you can get those at any travel section of the store, but something you can put over your eyes to shut out the light, that can really help you sleep. So it's good to take in at least 1 liter bottle of fluid for the flight, and then ask them for extra drinks too. So those are some things I wanted to cover for this call, and then we can go over more on our next call too. So let me just check in with you, and we'll finish up this call and just check in and see what are good takeaways for you, or what kinds of things, any nuggets that you learned today that would be helpful to use after this. Michelle,
hi,
if you're
Dr.
there.
Hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Michelle.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi.
Yeah, you think it was helpful?
Yeah, I really appreciated you answering my question at the start of the call and the content of this call. And I liked what you said early on, just the distinction between boys and girls and men and women, how they sometimes need a different approach. I didn't consider that before, but just what you were saying about girls, they tend to be quicker to apologize, but in the same token, they can be really supportive of one another. So, you know, the exercise you gave just to help support that, their supportiveness, I thought was really good. And then also just even in terms of the physical gestures, boys and girls, in terms of letting go of mistakes, that the men might tend towards more just assertive, aggressive gestures over the women. I need to be more mindful of my audience in that way.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I was just thinking, I had one girl that was a swimmer, and she came in and said that I'm swimming in one lane and my friend is in the next lane, another girl on the team, if she's ahead of me, I know I can beat her, but I'm afraid if I pass her, I'll lose our friendship. You know, said that to me. I thought, oh, no. Right. You would never, almost never hear that from a guy, right?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
I had a tennis player tell me the other day she feels bad when she beats her opponents. She feels bad for them.
Yeah. So that's something that, whereas guys, we tend to compartmentalize, I think. And, it's like, okay, here's the game. I'm rough and tough during the game, and I'm competitive. And then afterward, we just go out. We're just friends, buddies. So in that way, we can teach women how to have that compartmentalized in a good way. to say the team, when you're playing, just get out there and do your best. And, So that might be a good topic for our next call too. And someone else would ask about that, to talk about the gender differences and how to deal with those, men versus women. So we could do that, yeah. And any other topics? Do you have any other suggestions for topics, Michelle, that you'd like to see too?
Well, I'm always just really curious about ways to create trust amongst teammates.
Yeah.
Activities and exercises around that, because I think I think trust is the foundation to a highly functioning team. And so if everyone feels like, if people on the team feel that they can make mistakes and they're still going to be okay, or they can, ask a question without being judged, that sort of thing, if they just trust that their teammates have their back through thick and thin, I think they will play just a bit more aggressively and take a few more chances out there, and maybe not play as safe. So I think, but I don't always, I've done a few trust building activities with teams, and some have gone off really well, but I'm always just really nervous about doing it, because sometimes you have to be a little bit vulnerable in some of the activities, that I'm proposing. So they tend to work out well, but I'm always a little bit scared going into it. So if you have any suggestions of how you can build trust amongst the team, I'm open to that.
Yeah, okay, that's great. I'm writing that down. We'll talk about that also next time. So, yeah, put in your calendars October 24th for our next call. And, yeah, that'll be great. So, yeah, really
great.
Did I
ask that before? I feel like I have asked that before. So I don't know if I'm being redundant here or not.
Yeah, well, we talked about, I guess, team cohesion and that kind of thing.
Right.
But trust is kind of one aspect of that, I think.
Yeah.
To kind of dive deeper into the trust part, I think, would be good. Yeah, specifically that part. So that's great. Yeah, especially both girls and how maybe gender, how guys do that differently than women. But trust building in general is a great topic. Yeah.
And I think also where I'm thinking a lot these days about conflict resolution, like some of the teams that I've worked with, there has been conflict. And I think as humans, we tend to avoid it and then it just festers. But if we can actually seek to resolve conflict in a way that is respectful of both parties, then I think you can build trust that way too, big time.
Yeah, exactly. Resolve it as it comes up kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm writing that down too, so we'll talk about that.
This is fun pondering.
Yeah, that's really good. It's all of those are aspects of, build trust and building a good team and having a good experience with everyone. So,
when I first got into this with you, I was really just thought I'd only want to work with individuals, but I don't know how this has happened. I'm finding that most of the work I'm doing now is with teams, and I'm enjoying that so much. And so it's funny, you know, I had this one idea of how I thought this might look, and it's been completely upended.
Oh, good. Well, it's great to be able to have work with teams. See all the interaction there and all the things, learning that goes on and craziness and so much learning that can happen.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a little family, right?
Yeah.
All the things,
exactly.
Different kind of family. So, great conversation with you. And, I'll have this recording up shortly and then we'll, it sounds like I'll send out my notes for what we talked about here too. And so, great talking with you about the apologizing for mistakes and beating up and ideas for doing that too. So that's so glad you brought that topic up to Michelle. And then ideas about traveling and stuff are all can be helpful too. I'll send out information about that we shared here. So good. Okay. Well, we'll talk to you next time on October 24th. Thanks so much. Have a great week, everyone. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.